and I'd like to return this jacket.
Certainly. May I ask why?
First bite.
Bite?
That's right. I don't care for the salesman that sold it to me.
I don't think you can return an item for spite.
What do you mean?
Well, if there was some problem with the garment, if it were unsatisfactory in some way, then we could do it for you. But I'm afraid spite doesn't fit any of our conditions for a refund.
That's ridiculous. I want to return it. What's the difference what the reason is?
Let me speak with the manager. Excuse me. Bob?
What seems to be the problem?
Well, I want to return this jacket, and she asked me why, and I said for spite, and now she won't take it back.
That's true. We can't return an item based purely on spite.
Well, so fine, then I don't want it. That's why I'm returning it.
Well, you already said spite, so...
I changed my mind.
No? You said spite. Too late.
Hello, and welcome to The Place to Be, a Seinfeld podcast. I'm your host, Adam.
And I'm Eric.
On today's episode, we welcome Pamela Dillman. Pamela has appeared in a number of films and TV shows, including The Nanny, 12, Bye Bye Love, and Sabrina the Teenage Witch. But Seinfeld fans will always remember her for playing the salesperson in the classic season 7 episode, The Wig Master. And we're so glad she can join us today. Thank you for being with us, Pamela.
I'm delighted to be here, guys. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. We're delighted to have you. We can't wait to talk to you about this. You know, you did such a great job with the role and such a classic episode. So we're just going to get right into it. How did the role on Seinfeld first come about?
Well, I auditioned the way every actor auditions with Lieberman, Hirschfeld, and I had known them. They had cast me in other things, so I knew them pretty well. Coincidentally, maybe you guys knew this already, I actually grew up with Brad Hall, Julia's husband. So I never used that connection to get an audition for this. And I think Julia was really surprised when I showed up on set that day. I hope pleasantly so. I think so. But I knew Brad. We were long time close friends and still are.
So cool. I didn't know that. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, actually, he was my high school boyfriend. he met Julia at Northwestern, and of course the rest is history. And we're still very close social friends. And Brad is honestly one of the kindest, funniest guys you could ever know. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. And so, getting back to Seinfeld, was that the first time you auditioned for the show?
It was the one and only time I auditioned for the show. It was a very pleasant experience. It was smooth sailing. You know, sometimes when you audition for things, you feel like you nailed it and then you never hear anything. Sometimes when you audition for things, you feel like it went terribly and you can't believe it when you hear back from them. But I did feel it went well. As actors, our job is the audition. We have to train ourselves to audition and then forget about it, because if we get too invested in whether we get every job, we'll just kill ourselves. It's awful. So we have to forget about it. And that all happened pretty quickly. So I was, you know, at that time I was living very close to where they were taping. And I showed up, and, you know, here's an interesting fun fact. What I wore on the show as the sales lady were my own clothes. I didn't even have to go to wardrobe. I was, you know, I had my day on set. Seinfeld, it was partial live audience and partial tape and partial pre-tape or location tape. And my episode was on set taped. The live audience was there, but the shop was not in front of the live audience, but they were there.
So since you were wearing your own clothes in that scene, did you go straight from the audition to the filming?
No, sorry if that was not clear. It was like, you know, 2 weeks later. So I had time to plan what I was going to. Actually, I brought something in case the wardrobe wasn't like, I care a lot, guys, about what I wear. Probably way too much. So I brought something from home. And it turned out to be perfectly suited for the role of the sales lady in the nice store where they sell Joseph Abboud blazers. Yes.
And just one more thing about your audition. Do you remember, like, who was in the room, if Jerry was there or anything like that?
Jerry was not there. As a matter of fact, there was another one of the producers there, and I can't tell you. All I know is it wasn't Larry David, because I remember very specifically that Larry David was there on set on the day. And so I would have remembered it if it had been Larry David in the room. But I definitely felt I had a great relationship with Meg Lieberman and Mark Hirschfeld. They're really great, really great people.
And so what was that feeling like for you when you first arrived on the set?
Well, really cool. I'm not going to lie. It was really cool. Because I knew Julia somewhat socially, actually my first awareness was not like, oh, wow, I'm on the set of Seinfeld and these are the iconic sets that we see on the TV and how cool they look behind the scenes. My first thought was walking into the soundstage was seeing Julia waiting in the seats and giving her a hug. And that's pretty cool.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So you said she was sitting in her seat. Was that at the table read? Was that the first thing that happened?
The table read is always the first thing. So she was there. I honestly don't remember whether we did the full table read together. Yeah, we did. No, we absolutely did. It's coming back to me now. That was a few days before the day I did the taping. So the day I'm remembering walking onto the soundstage and giving her a hug was different. Yeah, you're right. The table read was a few days beforehand, and it was lots of fun. And I don't remember any talk about rewrites or no problems there. Wish I could come up with a great story for you about that. But one of the things about working on Seinfeld, and I've worked on a lot of sitcoms, is that it was the friendliest, most supportive vibe. You know, you guys have probably heard this before, but the sitcoms, the feeling on set is really set by the stars of the show. And if there is any backstory of that viewers don't necessarily know about lack of unity or power plays, you know, the guest actors feel it. They might not even know what it is, but they feel it. And that is not was never the case on Seinfeld. It was totally relaxed, totally welcoming. You know, a lot of stars on sitcoms maybe stay in their dressing rooms and then just come out for their things, and you don't really have that much communication with them outside of what you're actually doing in the scene. But as I recall on Seinfeld, they were lounging around most of the time and treating everybody absolutely as their peer.
That's great to hear. Mm-hmm. And so you had the table read, and then was it a few days of rehearsal before the live show in front of the studio audience?
We had one day of rehearsal, as I recall, in front of the live show. And the studio audience was there on the day that I came in to tape, but my bit wasn't in front of the studio audience.
So what, were they like watching on monitors or something?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So when you come into the soundstage, it's like a long room where the individual sets are aligned, like maybe one, two, three, or four in a row on each side. And then in the opening part of the soundstage is usually where the live audience is seated and rows up, and they're viewing one or two rooms of the set. And it happened that the shop set was at the end of the row, so that the live audience would view it from a monitor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I've attended a few tapings for Saturday Night Live when Julia hosted, actually. And it's kind of this, at like you say, it was certain scenes are right in front of you, and then others you're kind of watching on the monitor because they're on the other side.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And so let's talk about your scene a little bit. Obviously, you only had that one scene in the episode, but it is a very memorable appearance. So what do you remember about filming that scene with Jerry?
You know, the thing that struck me most from the very beginning is that when Jerry came to the set that day to do that scene, the first thing he asked me was to run lines, which was really, I thought, fantastically endearing, because it's Jerry Seinfeld and he wants to run lines with me. And really, I think that the reason that he did that is pretty exemplary of why the show is so iconic, because obviously it's a scripted, carefully scripted, incredibly well-written show. And yet the actors are spontaneous. And so when you can memorize and then forget about it and simply work off the other person in terms of the behavior that they're giving you, that's how spontaneity is key, even though you're saying lines that you've memorized. So running the lines with Jerry was a simple, flat, like reading of the telephone book delivery of the lines. So we knew we had them down together. And then we could actually just behave like real human beings who were saying anything. So I found it really fabulous that that was the first thing he said to me, let's run lines.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. Yeah. So when you were running lines and doing the rehearsals and everything, did you guys improvise anything that made it into the episode?
Okay, the only thing that was actually improvised is a very subtle moment, but it's very memorable to me because it is the thing that Larry David pointed out to me afterwards. And I have to say, for Larry David to have given me a compliment, personal compliment as a day player guest star, was like something I can crow about the rest of my life. But it was not, I don't mean to pat myself too heavily on the back. It was simply because Jerry was so spontaneously good to work with. So when he said to me that he didn't, you know, that he didn't agree that he couldn't exchange the jacket, and he just told me that he wanted to exchange it for Spite, and I said I would have to turn and talk to my manager, I went back and talked to the lovely Bob, and I just, because it came naturally after my interchange with Jerry, I just said to him very quietly, Bob, this man would like to exchange the jacket. And Bob says, well, what for? And I said, well, for something to do with Spite. I mean, we were totally improvising that bit, but it wasn't really caught by the audio. You can just see us in the background and you can see me saying Spite. And Larry David loved that. He came up to me afterwards and said, that's what we're all about here. I loved that. So I felt really good about it.
Oh, wait, so you were supposed to go to the manager and just talk for a little bit, and then he was supposed to walk over to Jerry. We weren't supposed to hear you say Spite?
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Because that's my favorite part of that scene.
Oh, good. That makes me so happy. Yeah, I love it that it was a Joseph Aboud jacket, too. I actually came in later years to be friends with Mara Aboud, Joseph Aboud's sister, who lives here in Santa Barbara, California.
Oh, no way.
And also Julia was writing. She was supposed to be the writer for J. Peterman catalog. And that was the little connection that she had in that first scene when Jerry shops for the jacket. And my stepmother, who was a very well-known actress and model, adored J. Peterman catalog. That was, she, every month we had J. Peterman catalog. So that was like an in-joke in our family too, J. Peterman.
Oh, it's so great. And also the manager, like we said in that scene, was played by Zach Pfeiffer. So what was he like to work with?
Oh, he was so lovely. He was absolutely down to earth, relaxed, friendly. We had a great time together. I'm sorry I never worked with him again. I thought he was just lovely. The only other actor on that episode that I knew off camera, do anything in the episode together, but Patrick Bristow, who played the wigmaster, came to be later. I didn't know him then, but later he came to be a pretty good family friend through my sister-in-law. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, wow. That is cool. And the other thing I wanted to ask you, your hair in that scene reminds me of the way that Julia used to wear her hair in the earlier seasons of the show. So I'm just curious, like, did anyone say anything to you about that? Because we had another guest on who wore her hair similar to Julia's, and they actually asked her to change it.
That's really interesting. You should ask that. That did not happen. I think it was a trend at that time to have, because my hair had, it was only curly because I'd permed it. My hair is dead straight. But back then I was getting it permed because I liked the body. But it didn't look very good when it was fully down, so I pinned it up a lot in a sort of curly French knot, and it is happens to be the way that she wore it a lot on the show, and that was coincidental. And I'm happy to say that they didn't tell me to change it, but that had happened to me on other shows. As a matter of fact, on The Nanny, they asked me to change. I can't remember whether I dyed it or wore a wig because I looked too similar to Fran Drescher on that show. Yeah.
Yeah, we had Gretchen German on the show who played Jerry's girlfriend in season 2, and they asked her to change her hair. But I think a main reason for that was because Julia still had her hair like that at that time, whereas in season 7, she had the long curly hair. So I think that's probably why they didn't say anything to you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's very common in this business. My dad, who was a prolific actor, was on a TV series with James Franciscus, and the producers thought they looked too much alike, so my dad had to grow a mustache for that series. We deal with that kind of stuff all the time.
And did you get to interact with Jerry at all in between takes, or was it mainly during the filming?
I did get to interact with him. He was totally friendly. Back then, he was not married, so the most common question, and neither was I, so the most common question that I get asked about being on the show was whether we had a little flirtation, and the answer is sadly no. We were very, very friendly.
What about the rest of the cast members? Do you have a favorite interaction with someone else from the main four or any of the guest stars from that week?
I would have to say it was the look of surprise on Julia's face because we know each other pretty well. And honestly, a lot of people want to know more about what she's like when she's not performing. And she's a really very quiet, watchful, very thoughtful, intimate sort of person. She's not gregarious very much of the time. I think this is true of a lot of brilliant comedians like her. She's an observer. Her husband, on the other hand, Brad, is a outgoing guy who is so naturally funny in everything he says that I hope this isn't too much information, but when he used to make me laugh so hard when we were dating in high school that I do remember one time when he took me ice skating and he made me laugh so hard that I had to pretend like I fell on the ice because I'd peed my pants laughing so hard. And I needed to make the ice be responsible for the fact.
Oh, man, that's great. Yeah, it's so interesting that someone like Julia could be so quiet off camera, and then when they get on camera, it's just something lights up about them and they just take over the screen, you know?
I actually think it's more common than one might think. I think a lot of really brilliant comedians are observers. and not necessarily naturally outgoing. But when they're in their imaginary circumstances, they're in their zone, and it just all happens. Yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah, we've heard that a lot about Michael Richards. Now, he was really in his zone.
I believe
backstage. Yeah, for sure. Well, whatever they did, it worked. So
right, it sure did.
Exactly.
Were you happy with how your scene turned out?
Do you know, I can say that I am, and I almost never say that. You might get this a lot with actors you talk to. We can hardly watch stuff we've done. I honestly, of the work I've done over the years, I'm currently a pretty prolific audiobook narrator, and I do not listen or watch anything I've done because I have to analyze why that is. But largely, I think it's because I think that I will feel it's awful. we're very self-critical, and I don't want to revisit something and have any regrets. Just want to lay it out there and hope that it landed well. But when I rewatched this, I was very happy with it. I thought, you know what, that is actually really funny. That worked.
Absolutely. Yeah, you should be happy about it. Came out great.
Good.
And I'm just curious, what else was going on in your career at the time you landed the role on Seinfeld? Like, I'd love to hear more backstory.
I think that I was in a lull of employment. As a matter of fact, now I'm remembering, I was definitely in a lull of employment when I got that job. It was definitely a like wowzer. And yet, because I was in a lull of employment, like many of us actors who were going from job to job, we would fill in between those jobs with a lot of restaurant work. And at that time, restaurant delivery services were becoming another gig for actors who could just, you know, leave their days free for auditions or tapings. And then at night, they would do what now DoorDash has made this redundant, but we would work for restaurant delivery services where people could have the food from their favorite restaurants delivered to their home. So I had to go after the taping of Seinfeld to my job at the restaurant delivery service. And about 2 weeks after I had done that taping, I remember going into a restaurant to pick up an order, and Brad and Julia were at the table having dinner as I was in my little uniform picking up the order from the restaurant that I had to go deliver to somebody's home. And they were, of course, so gracious and nice, but I was deeply mortified because, you know, we all have egos and we think we want everybody to imagine that we're constantly working and every job is the next step to our absolute success. But no, I had to return to my restaurant delivery gig.
We talked about, obviously, you have a connection to Julia, you know, you're friendly with her and Brad, but any of the other Seinfeld cast members, did you ever get to socialize or work with any of them outside the show?
I wish that I had, but the answer is no, not yet. Who knows? Right. They're all still working. They're all still working, really.
Exactly. Yeah. Plenty of time.
Yeah. All right. So before we let you go, we're just going to move on to our final segment. It's called This, That, and the Other. So basically, we just ask you a question, and the first thing that comes to mind, you let us know.
All right.
So first question, what is your favorite film?
You know, the thing that came to mind, although I'd maybe have to edit it if I really thought about it, but it's a film called Being There.
Love that movie.
Okay, yes. I mean, I have so many favorite films that I hesitate to even say, but when you ask me a question that I'm not prepared to answer and yet that's the thing that comes to my head, I'm going to roll with it. I still love everything about that movie.
Yeah, it's a great choice. Mm-hmm.
Favorite band or musician?
Well, I absolutely love so many, so that's going to be really hard. But yes, Stevie Wonder is really high up there. Anything from the 70s soul funk era, you know, any artist in today's world that fits in that genre is going to be my jam.
That's a good choice. Mm-hmm. What role or performance are you proudest of?
Well, I would probably say a play that ran for a couple of years in Los Angeles, actually, called The Baby Dance, where I played the role of Rachel. And that was through Playhouse West Repertory Theater. And I did that with a number of actors over the years. We kind of rotated in and out as we got other jobs. But that was the most satisfying, not the most high profile, but the most satisfying and rewarding.
The actor you worked with who is the most different from the character he or she played?
That I'm going to have to really think about for a second. Maybe Rex Harrison. I worked with him on a Broadway tour, and he was extraordinarily gentlemanly at all times in life and on stage. However, he could also have a mouth on him and a temper on him behind the scenes. And he was a little bit ahead of his time in that he brought, if he was in a bad mood, he kind of brought it to what he was doing on stage, too.
Favorite story working on the set of a film or TV show?
I'm going to say working on the set of a film called Bye Bye Love, which Brad Hall was a co-producer on. And most of my scenes were with Matthew Modine. And we had a great time on that set. I think the scene where I'm flirting with Matthew Modine at the soccer game comes to mind. It took us all day to get just a few takes, but we had a great time hanging out together.
Yeah, it was a good movie. I like that movie.
Thank you.
Who was your biggest influence growing up?
Well, my dad and my stepmom. So my dad was a well-known actor and a great actor, Bradford Dillman. Arguably, my stepmother, Susie Parker, was an even bigger influence because she wanted me to become an actress, whereas I, from most of my growing up years, had wanted to be a dancer, and she really put the flea in my ear to be an actor. And maybe it's because it's something that she had wanted to do more. You know, she did a number of films but wasn't happy with herself as an actress. She was a great model, and she did not like her performances on moving camera. So I think she wanted me to do that.
So is she the one that, I guess, inspired you to go abroad for a while before going to New York to be in theater?
That would be more my dad, because my dad had done a TV series in London back in the 60s. And he loved London and would talk a lot about it. And my mother, his first wife, Frida, is my mother, and she actually is English. And so with those two factors combined, I was already a bit fascinated with everything British. So that's why I went to the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art. Well, I'm happy to have been accepted. And it has been a huge part of my life. I had no idea that in, you know, decades to come, I would be specializing in audiobooks, but definitely the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art education has helped with my ability to do character voices and dialects and all the things that, you know, a film acting training might not necessarily prepare you for.
What's an interesting fact people might not know about you?
I was an acting teacher for a long time at Playhouse West with Jeff Goldblum and Robert Carnegie and Holly Gagnier and that school. I highly recommend to anybody listening who might be thinking of going into the world of acting themselves. It really knows how to train actors for film and television. And that doesn't mean that it doesn't include comedy, because comedy is acting truthfully under imaginary circumstances the same way that any dramatic approach is. It's just a different style.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you if you have advice for any aspiring actors who might be listening, but I guess that would probably be it, right?
That's my best advice. Go to a school that teaches you how to work off the other person in the same way that Jerry naturally did by running lines with me so we could get that out of the way. When you really don't worry about what you're saying and you're looking at the behavior, you're not self-editing. You're really being a responsive actor. And it's really helpful if you can get some coaching. And you can teach anybody to do that. It's a learned skill.
And final thing, favorite moment of your career?
I'm going to have to say is when Larry David told me he liked my improvised line.
Tough to top that.
Yeah.
Well, Pamela, thank you so much for doing this. I was actually just watching your episode recently, and when your scene came up, I was saying to myself, how have we not interviewed her yet? Because we just love interviewing all the little bit players who just added so much to the show, and you're a great example of that. So we're so glad that we got to talk to you.
Thank you so much, guys. I'm so glad you reached out. Thank you for letting me ramble.
No, you gave us some great stuff. And yeah, like Eric said, we just love to interview anybody that was part of the show, even if you were in one line or one scene, it doesn't matter. And just thank you for making our favorite show so memorable and for knocking it out of the park in that scene.
Thanks so much for that.
Thank you. All right, Pamela, have a great night. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to email us at theplacetobeseinfeld@gmail.com. You can also find our show on Facebook at The Place to Be, a Seinfeld podcast, Twitter at TPTBSeinfeld, and Instagram at theplacetobe.podcast. You can find our show on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, and Apple Podcasts. And if you'd like, please rate and review. It really helps us out. Until next time, be sure to hang up your pants for the perfect crease.
You know, that clothing salesman had a lot of nerve hitting on Elaine right in front of me. He stands to make a big commission, too, on that jacket with the crest that nobody seems to like. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take that jacket back. I'm putting this guy right out of commission.